Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's John Mellencamp bringing us back, ladies and gentlemen. John Cougar Mellencamp. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. I am the Small Business Advocate. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend Bert Folsom, Dr. Burton W. Folsom, Jr., the author of New Deal or Raw Deal, the co-author of FDR Goes to War, his new books that I encourage you to check out. Bert, thanks again for hanging out with us. Bert's a almost 15-year member of our Brain Trust, a founding member, and the resident historian of our Brain Trust, professor of history at Hillsdale College. Bert, what year was the income tax that we have now? Isn't this the 100th anniversary of the income tax?
100th anniversary. 100th anniversary.
This year. And yes. It's also the 100th anniversary of the Fed.
Yeah.
But it's not really the 100th anniversary of an income tax in America, is it?
Correct. We had one during the Civil War, but we had the sense to...
President Lincoln did that, right?
Yeah, he did, and made it even progressive. But we flattened it after the Civil War and then eliminated it in 1872.
Why did we eliminate it in 1872? Where did that wisdom come from? That's what I want to know.
I have a blog today called The Three Biggest Myths of the Income Tax on BertFolsom.com, and I talk about when we give our politicians very little, they don't overspend because it doesn't come easy.
Right.
But when we give them a lot, they tend to overspend, and the Civil War generation realized that, and we just flat out weren't giving them as much. We had 28 straight years of budget surpluses after the Civil War, and money was coming in from income tax. And the income tax was abolished in the midst of that, because we were able to fund. People help people for charities.
Right.
We didn't have welfare. We had local charities.
America does that. In other countries, they don't do that. But in America, we do that still.
We do. And so people were helping people. And if you look at the number of – we did have some people who were in poverty and some homeless. But proportionally, we did better with local charities keeping an eye on their own communities and churches helping people one-on-one rather than just sending welfare checks and putting bureaucrats in charge.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so that we trucked along like that with surpluses. What was the delusion that required the income tax to be installed again to be started again, and as we have it now, basically in 1913?
The idea that the rich needed to pay more. Class warfare developed under Teddy Roosevelt. Class warfare under Teddy, and he said the rich have a duty to pay more.
And he was a Republican.
He was a Republican. He said
so. The first income tax and the second income tax were both initiated by Republicans. Bert,
well,
say it ain't so.
I hate to say this, but that's true.
Say it ain't so, Bert.
Unfortunately, Jim, it's so. But the big hikes in the income tax came under the Democrats, under Wilson and under Franklin Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. That's when we made them really steeply progressive, and that's when, of course, Roosevelt experimented and ultimately had a top rate of 94% on all income over $200,000, and he wondered why we still had a Great Depression.
Mm-hmm. So for a long time after 2013, though, it trucked along at a pretty low rate, right? It was very insignificant in the early days, if I remember.
The top rate on the first income tax, Jim, was 7%.
Yeah.
And you had to earn $500,000 in 1913 dollars, which would be like $20 million today, or $10 million, I guess. In other words, you had to have an annual income in today's dollars of $10 million to be in the 7% bracket.
Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't that big a deal.
No, but it was an entering wedge, because the argument is we ought to tax the rich a little bit more than others. And once that is in there, then the only question is, what are the politicians going to determine it what you ought to pay?
And so what we learned from the progression of all this over time is that if you give government the opportunity to tax you, they will find new ways to expand that taxation every chance they get, right?
You're absolutely right. That needs to be underscored. As you say, write it and
write it on a rock.
Write it on a rock. Don't forget. Let me just put one statistic this way. The top rate was 7% in 1913. 30 years later, the bottom rate, if you earned $500 or more a year, was 24%.
Wow.
It starts with just
so
the rich pay.
The Republicans got it started, but the Democrats expanded it to everyone.
Right. They made it a mass tax. They started withholding. Mm-hmm. All of that was done under the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's plenty of blame to go around. But, the reason I made the point that I did just now, Bert, is because people talk about benefits, the virtues of a value added tax. Well, you know, if it's only 5% or whatever, what they don't realize is that that's what it started in Europe, and now VAT tax is as high as 25% in some countries. So if you give them an opportunity to tax you, they will find a way to increase it.
You're absolutely right, and that VAT tax is a horrible idea, Jim, because
it's awful.
At least with a 90% tax, you know you're being hit. The VAT is a hidden tax.
Yep.
We need to do everything we can to make taxes public. We even need
put on
gas pumps the amount that goes to federal
tax. And payroll withholding, as handy as it is,
yes,
is an illusion to people, isn't it?
It is. All the taxes you pay need to be right in front of you
every,
at all times.
Every year, you should be given a report of how much taxes you paid that year.
Oh, I like that. That ought to be a law, Jim.
Cash tax, food tax, all the different taxes. That would wake you up a little bit, folks. Wake all of us up a little bit. Right back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the history of income tax with our good friend Bert Folsom. By the way, check out his article, BertFolsom.com. Check it out.
Quench my desire, and I'll be at your side forever.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.